Wow. Time for American at Radio on 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. I'm Tom Ryan, your host, with my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, and I'm anxious to get this thing started because I am really, really excited about today's show. I'm coming up with something. I know I'm going to hit you totally blind. This is something you never heard of before, and I just can't wait to get to this. Since we've started this entire series with us playing albums, and it's been about a good decade that we've been doing this now, there was only one case where we actually decided to replace an album with something else, where I decided that I was going to knock out a Cream double album and put on a Stephen Stills and Mike Bloomfield Super Session record, Al Kooper, in its place. Now I'm going to do the same thing again, because I discovered an album that has managed to become literally on my all-time top 10 list of all time. And I didn't expect that to happen. I was hoping I'd find something special, but to find something this amazing that I never heard of before is just short of a miracle, I think. So, unfortunately, that means I had to knock an album off. So we are deleting a Gil Scott-Heron album that we did play. Was actually at number 139, called Pieces of a Man, to make room for an album that did not chart ever. In fact, it probably barely even sold. It back in August of 1968 by a band called The Daughters of Albion. I know. Yeah. Now, when I started this project, I did so with the intent that I might discover a few things along the way that would broaden my knowledge of, well, you know, how music changed. That's the point of this, right? My personal ambition was to discover music along the way that was unfamiliar, but nonetheless fascinating and great enough to be deemed as timeless. Daughters of Albion is the album that has justified this entire experience for me. I'm not exaggerating. 2 decades of effort, research, close listening, writing and analysis, and I truly believe that this album is the greatest discovery of all of my efforts. Before this project, I never knew that this album existed, and in all likelihood, I never would have. But now, I have a strangely mysterious and completely obscure album that I want to share with the entire world, because it easily rates among my all-time favorites. Without hearing the music, there's absolutely nothing about the album that would make it seem appealing. First and foremost is the band name. Daughters of Albion is not a name that includes any level of pop appeal. It made me think that it would consist solely of ancient English folk songs or something. Then there's the cover itself. It is absurdly off-putting, featuring a blurry photo of a shirtless hippie male standing in front of a female leaning against a fence, black and white. What sort of folk group is this? The back cover is equally heinous, with nothing but a low-resolution black and white photo of a female face that would have landed fine on a Velvet Underground album, maybe. But if you were flipping through a record bin in 1968 looking for something new and exciting, you would not have stopped here. If you were at least curious enough to read the song titles, you'd be forgiven to think that the album's production was so cheap that they misprinted their own song titles. The first song is called I Love Her and She Loves My. My what? That's a misprint, right? This is cheapness times 10, right? So nobody bought it. No radio station touched it, and it languished and languished. It still languishes. I stumbled on it as a matter of coincidental happenstance. While I was researching Leon Russell's early days with Mark Benno and as the Asylum Choir, I read that Leon did some production work for a group called Daughters of Albion. Now, as an Asylum Choir fan, I immediately felt it necessary to hear this curious album. So I spent a small fortune to obtain a very old and out-of-print copy without really expecting much. But hearing it for the first time blew my mind, as if I was hearing Sgt. Pepper, Something Else, or The Who Sell Out all combined together for the first time. the first thing I learned was that Daughters of Albion was a duo consisting of a male, Greg Dempsey, and a woman, Kathy Yesi. The album opens with a humorous bang, which is the I love her and she loves my. And it's truly funny, and it has an awesomely catchy melody and rhythmic structure, and from there, it never lets up. I could write 10 pages with details about why each track is so special and magnificent, but to keep this within reason right now, I will simply say that every song here is worthy of your attention. I would play this album every Wednesday for the rest of the year until I convinced you.
So they're not reading William Blake's poems?
No, I am going to. But don't make me play this album next Wednesday and the Wednesday. I will do it because I am so in love with this. And I'll probably lose my job doing that. But I special kudos to Yes, Our Love is Growing, Hats Off, Arms Out, Ronnie. Oh, what a great song title. And especially Well Wired, which should have been among the top hit singles of 1968, maybe the decade. But then again, I'd hate not to mention the greatness of Hey, You, Wait, Stay. Still Care About You, and oh heck, all of them. The capper, though, is the closing number, an agglomeration that's the only song that's longer than 3 minutes and 20 seconds that manages to touch on Bob Dylan, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, and even the Pope, all with sly humor, while adding some astute political observations to a melody that is so strong that it will induce goosebumps while making you laugh at the same time. Can I state it more plainly? In my opinion, Daughters of Albion stands proudly as one of the best psychedelic albums that not only withstood the test of time, but has transcended it. This is what happened to me and what made my eyes pop out of my head when I heard the first song called I Love Her and She Loves My. I'm thinking this is a joke. They can't even spell their own song title right. And then I realized, oh my God, that really is the song title. Here it is. I love her, and she loves my.
Last night, close to three, she whispered, Daddy. She calls me by his name all the time. Where I leave her, but she's so much like my sister.
And I love her, and she loves my.
I love her and satisfied.
Her and she loves my.
Mama, she loves my.
In her Friday bliss, we hold our meeting. And everybody knows that noise inside.
She loves my.
I love her and satisfied.
I love her and she loves my.
Mama, she loves my.
I love to watch her go to sleep. Yes, see her wake up ready in the morning.
She loves my.
I love her and satisfied.
Her and she loves my.
Mama, she loves my.
Love.
right? Now, that's just the beginning. Now, you see, I grew up with that album, Leon Russell and Mark Benno present The Asylum Choir. And that's an album that's sort of similar to this in its own weird way. And I put that on this list of our favorite 500 albums of sleeper albums. But that album's actually conventional compared to this. But you hear Leon Russell is helping with the production on this. That's Leon doing the piano work. But you hear there's orchestration, there is horns, there's a string section, there's a dual guitar lead, the vocals are layered. And, well, of course, there you hear mostly Greg singing, but Kathy Yesi is actually mostly the lead singer. And the next song, which is called Still Care About You, you really learn how much nerve the two of them have to deconstruct their own songs just to make them like sound incredibly original. This next song, which is called Still Care About You, probably could have been a potential hit for a straight up normal 60s act. Even somebody like the Carpenters or something, maybe, except for the fact that they take it and they totally start to deconstruct it as the song goes along. It's like they do everything they can to make it uncommercial, which is exactly why I love it. It is like it's them saying, look, we're just trying to do something which is remarkably original and cool and unique, psychedelic, you know, which is exactly what Pink Floyd were doing. They weren't trying to basically hit the top 10 or make a number one hit. They were trying to do something that was a little bit weird and off kilter. That's absolutely what's going on here. And, well, it speaks for itself. This song is entitled Still Care About You. the arrangements like border on Rococo, because with so many things happening that they have to fade things in and out to make it all fit. I just wish that this, I've been hearing this now, just thinking that if one of these songs had been just popular enough to get some radio play, I think the entire album would have broken wide open. And as we go through it, you'll see what I'm talking about. This next song, another, it's just a classic, classically well-written, well-produced, awesome song called Yes, Our Love Is Growing. It's one of those songs that you really wish you could hear. I wish you could hear it 4 or 5 or 6 or 70 or 80 times to just hear how like how the levels work on it. Like if you listen really closely, you're going to hear that there's like, while they're singing the song, there's also a backing vocal that is whispered in underneath it that gives it an extra body. It's like there's these really cool thoughts of structure that are going on that not very many except the supergroups were utilizing at this point in time. And yet here these guys here and girl are doing this more or less just out of love and never really got any credit for it. So here's Yes, Our Love Is Growing.
My daisy makes a chain grow so really fine. And that's not all, my friend, that's growing. She dances strangely in a happy-hearted line. And after all, she's only growing. Turned into her, and that's not all that is returning. She wants to sleep upon a floor of 41st, and that's not all that keeps me burning.
Just so much. I've got to play two songs back to back because I'm so afraid I'm going to end up running out of time. So let's play the songs Candle Song and Lady Fingers, and then we can return. That's that would more or less constitute, I think. Oh, no, still one more song before we end side one. Oh, this is too rich. So Candle Song and Lady Fingers first.
Don't know whether they'll be fine or even. Honey, don't ask.
Just a reminder, you're listening to WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City. The show, of course, is American Hit Radio, and we do this every Wednesday at 5 p.m. I'm in a very super hyper mood. I've got goosebumps because I'm able to play the Daughters of Albion. I've been waiting to play this record for a while because I knew I had to. I found that I got so excited and I had to rearrange. I mean, it's really hard for me to do this, to rearrange everything, to like cancel out an album and change the numbers on the website and everything. But I am literally excited for playing this album. It's an album by really just two people. The Daughters of Albion is a man and a woman, Kathy Yesi and Greg Dempsey. You might be interested to know that Kathy Yesi eventually married. She became Kathy Dalton, and she did put out a solo album in 1973, where the backing band is Little Feat. So that's pretty cool. imagining that she's actually, you know, affiliated with also one of my favorite bands. But I had no idea about that when I fell in love with this album. That was a completely, you know, unique surprise. Yeah, another win-win for me on this, you know, amazing journey with Daughters of Albion. But last song on side one is this one called Sweet Susan Constantine. And again, too many ideas. Here's a song with a chorus that has two sets of lyrics at the same time. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Now, maybe this is a reach here, but I actually think I have an idea about what that song might be about. It sounds to me like they were inspired by Donovan, the songwriter Donovan, who had a song about For Susan on the West Coast Waiting, and he had a song that had a melody sort of like that.
I thought that was a bong at the very end.
Yeah, it might have been, but I'm also thinking that might have been an Atlantis like dig, you know? And they're... It had that Donovan feel to it. So I had a feeling that there was sort of like being pleasantly, like having a bit of a dig at Donovan on that song. I don't really know. Now, this next song, I love the title alone. This next song, it's called Hats Off, Arms Out, Ronnie. You got to love the title. And what's really... You can tell they're having fun when they're in the studio and they're recording the song. At one point, Kathy starts to, like, there's a break where the song, like, you know, comes to a bit of a stop. And she comes in and she sings her part too soon. And then you'll hear her say, oh, sorry. Now, they obviously could have taken it out and done it again. But that's what makes this album so charming and fun. They keep that stuff in, and it makes you laugh out loud. You know that they're having a great time, and the fact that they're laughing makes it that much more, like, charming. And so here's Hats Off, Arms Out, Ronnie.
Thank you.
to believe that if that song was recorded by a band like the Turtles or something, it would have been a top 20 hit. It's called Good to Have You. And before that, Hat Off, Arms Out, Ronnie. Now, this is one of those albums, by the way, where the songs actually get better as the album goes on. So I didn't should have told you that in the beginning. This next song, I think, is like the best pop song on the entire album. Of course, they have the album, the song, like, totally degenerates and gets deconstructed as it goes along. But it is a stunning piece of work and an amazing melodic structure. It blows my mind. It's called Well Wired. Check out this amazing piece of work, Well Wired.
He asked me, did I have the time? I said, right now. And then the truck began to whine and move on. Chilly night on such a country road.
So alive.
Believe that. I'm laughing so hard I've got goosebumps and I'm almost crying from that. I just love it so much. Is it just me? Oh my God. This is the Daughters of Albion album that I'm playing for you. It's got 12 tracks. I want to let you know that the last song is, to me, is the miracle of the 60s. There are very few songs that I think, like, it's almost like it's a masterpiece, almost like a mini The Who's Tommy or something, but condensed to 8 minutes in the way that they get so much stuff that they fit in. But in the meanwhile, Well Wired being as crazy as it is, this next song is the exact opposite. It's almost like the serious side of the band. So you have the crazy seriousness and the silliness of Well Wired, and then you have this song, which is just so beautiful. It's cool. And actually, two songs in a row that are beautiful. First is Hey, You, Wait, Stay. I love that title. With commas, you know, breaking it up. Hey, you. Wait. Stay. And we'll segue that into Story of Sad, since it's another, you know, beautiful song, but a sad song, like the title suggests.
Thank you.
almost normal. The Daughters of Albion album. And we got one track left, and that was almost it. Now, this song is called 1968, The John Flip Lockup. It is as weird as a song could be. It's funny as hell. And it's also very political. Here's what I can tell you to expect. You're definitely going to hear something that suggests Bob Dylan, the voice of Bob Dylan. Definitely the music of the Rolling Stones comes in quite deliberately. You're going to hear that. Now, you're going to hear John Lennon, or the voice of John Lennon, as he says something like, and he turns out to be the Pope in drag. And that's the Pope, of course. But don't start it yet. And there's also going to be a chorus, which is alms and qualms and kumquats, Charlie. And this. Don't start it, please. And, of course, a circus barker who will say, see the amazing Lee Oswald. He can shoot from five, count them, five different directions at once. Add it all up, and you have John Flip Lockup. This is just as catchy as can be. My favorite song of the past 50 years at the moment. Thanks for listening, folks.
Jason's calling John, I'm just a part of you. But look what's happening around, to see what you can do. Well, Johnny, first thing you know, he had us believing him, and we printed up all those posters, and he turns out to be Pope Paul in drag.
Symbolically speaking.
Stands so tall as when she stands on someone's hand.
Now this story has some moras from the tree we slip out. More adventures on the ground in jump, flip, flop, drop, flip out. More adventures on the ground in jump.